culture is a key factor in developing highly reliable organizations, or HRO. For a culture to be healthy depends on the existence of psychological safety in that culture. And on these two episodes, we'll continue our examination of HROs and discuss what it involves in establishing a safe environment and how it can affect your staff and patients alike. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tomas Villanueva, Senior Principal for Operations and Quality at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Elizabeth Mack and Christina Collada, who'll discuss how to create a healthy workplace by developing a safe environment. Elizabeth, Christina, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, good to be here.
So Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about your background and what you do here at Vizient.
Thanks, Tomas. So my role, I'm relatively new here to the Vizient Safe and Reliable team. Honored to be here. I'm serving as a principal focusing on helping organizations on their high reliability journey. And I've enjoyed working with a variety of institutions and systems around the country. And it's really a natural extension of the quality and safety work I've done in the children's hospitals around the country. And of course, I'm still working clinically in the PICU, experiencing the challenges that others are facing as well.
And Christina, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you. So I've spent the last 20 years of my career in human resources. I've held executive level roles and leading large HR teams for all the disciplines under the human resources realm. I've also been on the operations side too, where I've led large HR consulting teams and managed HR technology for a variety of industries, including healthcare. Prior to Vizient's acquisition of Safe and Reliable Healthcare, I was their chief HR officer. And so now I have the pleasure of being a business leader on the SCORE side that's also doing some consulting for our HR groups that work at our member organizations to help them adopt and implement HRO concepts.
So team, lots of things that I've been working on have been on access, coordination, communication, and accountability. But oh my God, if I see an opportunity for trust and respect, I frankly haven't seen it this worse in 30 years of practicing medicine. So why is this so important to build culture and trust and respect?
Some of the most successful HROs out there, they value expertise over hierarchy and expertise over those who are in positions to make those big decisions. In order for that expertise to really shine through in any kind of meaningful way, organizations need to give the trust to employees that they can handle sensitive information, but then also give them the respect to defer to their expertise and really listen to them. Unfortunately, if organizations are deferring to the experts of the highest of the hierarchy or certain positions that are just perceived to have more value, they're making decisions that could end up being catastrophic because they just have a small piece of the knowledge they need to really make good decisions. But if they were to give that trust, give that respect to employees, and employees feel like, hey, I have a voice, I can speak up, I have psychological safety, which in order to have psych safety, you really need to have that culture of trust and respect, then they're able to bubble up the information that those decision-making positions and leaders really need in order to make good decisions that help improve the organization versus sometimes catastrophic decisions.
Elizabeth, why is psychological safety an important ingredient in engaging workforce more deeply?
So first, I would say let's start with what the heck is psychological safety?
Great point.
It's when team members believe it's okay to take risks, to share suggestions, concerns, like Christina said, to speak up, and to admit mistakes without fear of repercussions. So Amy Edmondson says, psych safety is felt permission for candor. And I really like that definition. I think each word is important. And focusing on psych safety is a characteristic of organizations that are on the HRO journey. Of course, we don't say that it's a destination. And colleagues who feel psych safety are more willing to suggest outside of the box ideas, to speak up, to point out latent safety threats, to ask questions, features, of course, of an evolving and innovative system. And while change is hard, we know we can't stay stagnant. We don't want to be the recipient of old, rusty healthcare. So getting to your point, why does it matter? I would say that psych safety is shown to lead to increased engagement of team members because they know that their contributions matter. We want people who are invested, who dig roots. And think about the benefits of that sort of system. We get better decision-making, as Christina said. We have a more diverse collection of perspectives at the table, and we're not limited to what the leader envisions, but rather considering the voices of the people. And we want to be living in a system of continuous learning. So I think it's a super important question. Thanks for asking.
When you think about other industries, the airline industries in particular comes to mind, when there isn't psychological safety, really bad things have happened. And quite frankly, in my own career, I've seen where nurses have been afraid to tell physicians something, which resulted in an untoward event. But I'd love to hear more what you think of what happens when psychological safety doesn't happen within a workforce. Christina, what do you think?
It's not a fun sight.
No.
The opposite of psych safety could be fear, having distrust, feeling angry, worse, apathy. It's a dangerous thing when employees are quiet. And quiet doesn't mean that they don't have opinions or that they don't have critical observations, they don't have thoughts. Sometimes being quiet because you don't have psych safety to speak up can mean that, what's the point? I'll be shut down, disrespected, embarrassed, perhaps retaliated against. Maybe my questions won't be answered. If a group is quiet, and they're quiet a lot of the time, does not mean that as a leader, you've done a good job of getting what you need. Quite the opposite. You may not get all the pieces that you need. If you don't have employees speaking up and wanting to give feedback and that are afraid to speak the truth, then all you're going to get is continued exacerbation of the issues that you're already having. The end result of an environment that has great psych safety, to Elizabeth's point, is higher turnover, increased employee engagement, better operational clinical outcomes. And so giving the employees to speak up and say things, that's just going to lead to the thing that we talked about earlier too. Then you start to build trust and you start to feel that respect. But without those things too, then you're going to have some pretty nasty mistakes happening in the organization and bad financial outcomes. And then another key issue that's happening in healthcare is just the ability to retain and attract employees. So a lot of the times when employees, if they're not happy in their environment, they have the option to go anywhere they want too. It's just nothing but downward effects if you lose psychological safety or don't have it in the workforce.
It's interesting when I speak to leaders, self-awareness is something that I've been a little perplexed with. So I would say that most organizations, when I speak to leadership, they say, oh yeah, we have psychological safety in this institution, but how would you know that you actually have a culture of psychological safety?
So it's a great question, Tomas. What does it feel like to have a culture of psych safety? And just take a second. Imagine you're at work with your very favorite boss. Is it safe to suggest changes? Do they invite feedback? Do you consistently brief and debrief your meetings, your events, your challenges? Was it authentic or was it a box-checking exercise? Did you have to privately text or chat other people during a meeting to see if they agreed with your suggestion? Or did you just feel safe putting something out there on the table? And I think if you're in healthcare, did you feel safe to suggest or submit event reports with your name attached? Or did you have to use that anonymous reporting option or other mechanisms? And I think it's a great next step to consider at your next presentation, your next big meeting, your next event. Plan in advance to brief and debrief. Of course, you'll need some other elements of psych safety in place in order to guarantee that this would work. But consider beginning by responding to people who make suggestions with genuine appreciation and authentically incorporate the concepts raised into your work. And I think when you think about that favorite boss, they made expectations clear, probably. They established ground rules for thought exercises. They acknowledged their own mistakes. They made it clear they were human. They invited but didn't force input. So it's not always comfortable to take risks. And I don't want people to think that psych safety is always fun or is always pleasant. But civil discourse, and it doesn't always involve, you know, what we want to hear, but it shouldn't hurt us in the process. So the key point here, I would say, is that leaders are crucial for the formation and maintenance of psych safety.
With staffing issues, capacity issues. We have EDs that are completely packed. Our patients don't have access. Frankly, our coworkers are churning and burning, no matter what level they are in the hierarchy. Love to hear both your perspectives. What can leaders do to promote a healthy workplace?
Well, thanks for this super important question. In addition to establishing psych safety, one actionable effort is positive leader walkarounds. This is well published by our VSR team and our collaborators at the Duke Center for Wellbeing. And this involves asking healthcare workers what's going well and who deserves recognition. And certainly safety concerns arise. You can't just say only kudos, but the focus is really positive. And of course, loop closure is incredibly important, both for the positive issues raised as well as the concerns. And I would just say that in 2021, in the Joint Commission Journal of Quality and Patient Safety, we've published on this, and the exposure to positive leader walkarounds is associated with better healthcare worker well-being and safety culture. So super important. It's helpful to model healthy behaviors, to take our PTO, to take time to eat, to exercise, to sleep, just the basics, right? We're in healthcare, for goodness sakes. Set up routine time for the one-on-ones, and whenever possible, be transparent. And of course, always think of the words of the Dalai Lama, be kind whenever possible. It's always possible.
What do you think, Christina?
I fully, wholeheartedly agree with everything that Elizabeth said. And employees, especially healthcare employees, they get into this industry because of the need to want to serve and the passion they have to help other people. The work that you're doing is so admirable. And they have a lot of ideas and they have a lot of opinions and they have a lot of needs, but they're also seeing things oftentimes too that leaders in higher up roles may not be seeing. And so sometimes when decisions are coming down that maybe in leadership roles, we think, oh, this is really going to help people. And then those folks who are on the front line are getting those decisions. Sometimes we think, what the heck? How did they make that decision? Or that's going to hurt us. Or that's really another thing that we have to do, another thing that's added on. And one of the things too that can also increase a healthy engagement and also a healthy environment and then employees to be more deeply engaged is for them to know and feel that they have an impact on the decisions of the organization because they are being heard. So if they know that, whether it's through an engagement survey or it's through rounding or other various ways of giving feedback, if the organization is coming back and saying, hey, we made these decisions because this is what you told us, or you helped create the solution for the problem, it creates more of that healthy environment because now employees know they listen to me and I'm continuing to have an impact in the environment around me. People need control over their environment. So in those decisions and then participating in those decisions help give them a little bit more control back into their daily work.
Great job, both of you. Very good. Elizabeth, Christina, great insights. And I'm looking forward to our next episode. And to our listeners, you can contact Elizabeth or Christina at their email addresses in the resource section in our podcast page. And if you have additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me in our email, modernpracticepodcast@vizientinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And now, I'm Dr. Tomas Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.